good news and issues from a superior point of view.
That's a celebration of Martin Luther King Day in the Twin Ports more than two decades ago. But for two-thirds of the schools in our area, it's not a day off. We'll look at those that do or don't take it off and some reasons why. Plus,
unfulfilled dreams. Brown, yellow, black, and white, colors mistaken, fighting for civil rights.
The Twin Ports have been officially celebrating the holiday for years. We'll look back at some of the highlights.
Across the globe has taken international flights. Unfulfilled dreams. I have a dream, your creation, turn hate to love and spreading equalization. Protesting, boycotting, marching, building a congregation.
Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Nearly 40 years ago, in November 1983, President Ronald Reagan signed the Martin Luther King Holiday Bill into law. Though it took a while for some states to follow suit, all 50 of them now also recognize it as an official holiday. But not so for individual school districts, especially in rural and largely white areas like Northwest Wisconsin. Though even in our area, larger districts, including Superior and Duluth, do have the day off. We did a survey of schools on the Wisconsin side of our listening area and found that this year only 14 out of 43 have the day off for students, though some use the holiday for required in-service training for teachers. 3 years ago, just before the pandemic, we asked the same question of a handful of school districts. Two of those were Solon Springs and Maple, and we spoke with the superintendents of each. We begin with our conversation from 2020 with Frank Helquist, the part-time superintendent of the Solon Springs District.
It hasn't come up before?
No, this will be the fourth year I've worked here, and we haven't had a conversation about Martin Luther King Day being a day of observance that does not include school attendance.
Mm-hmm. And previously you were where?
I was superintendent down in Birchwood. It also was not a day without school. Mm-hmm. You know, there were observance activities and things that are structurally built in, but it was not a day without school.
Right. That would be an assembly or specific social studies activities?
It could be any number of activities that occur on schools with the different observances that occur. They're highly individualized by school and also by classrooms. It's so important that we don't forget the tumultuous times in our country's history. It's so important to remember that. What happens with most school calendars, you roll over what you have to the next year and just do some tweakings with it. And so I'm not even privy to have they had the discussions about observances of other holidays. I don't think there was, I can't say there was a discussion where they said, no, we don't want to take it off. I think it's more of you've replicated a calendar year after year after year, which I think most school districts tend to do. So you make me scratch my head and think a little bit. You're making me work today.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. So do you have an opinion on this holiday, what your district should do, or is it up to the school board? Or
do I have an opinion? You know, should we take it off or should we take it off? You know, what you've done is you've prompted me to think, gee whiz, it's never been part of a conversation. It should probably be part of a conversation when we look at school calendars and other observances. Is there a reason why we take off these days versus this one? And you've got me thinking on, gee, when we look at calendar, what do we do with it? Because it's brought to my attention. Because it obviously is a concern or an issue out there. Especially when kids live in isolated areas or predominantly white. That can be rather, it's not good because they need the exposure and context so that they get more sensitive and more accepting and everything else. And they understand that we live in a very diverse culture and we can't let the isolated area in which we live in adversely affect how you might treat people and act towards people when you go out in a bigger world.
That was our conversation with Solon Springs School Superintendent Frank Helquist in 2020. We also spoke at that time with Sarah Crony, the superintendent of Maple Schools, which also did not then take the day off. Here's our conversation with her.
For our students, currently we do come to school that day, but the announcements that would be for all students, meaning all four of our schools, grades 4K through grade 12, we do recognize and state aloud, along with a sentence or two in the morning announcements for the whole school, about Martin Luther King and why we are celebrating that day. Then in social studies classes through K through 5, the weekly readers would have articles about Martin Luther King. They'd be very grade level and reading level appropriate. Then grades 6 through 8, they have a current event. It's a really cool CNN for students, and it's a video, and in that they will probably have his famous speeches. But then grades 9 through 12, they do also have it within their social studies textbooks, and they are working through what contributions Martin Luther King brought for equality for all.
Do you feel like you're a little late to the party? Many years ago, when I was in Boston, New Hampshire had not yet recognized it as a state holiday, along with Arizona. So it was a perennial story, and then finally they did pass it. But even that was, 25, almost 30 years ago. And so that's what I ask, if you feel, maybe it's a little bit late around here?
I don't know. It's so interesting, because the importance of the day is what's critical for the kids to learn. Whether they're off school, does that make it any more important, or does it just, it means it's an extra, day that the kids don't need to come to school? I just feel that the critical component is the education that's happening, not mm-hmm. whether the day's off or not, day isn't off. So I don't know if we are late to the party, if we are doing a good job of educating the kids. So I really am not sure on that. I've been a superintendent since 1990, and every district that I've been in hadn't had that day off either. It may very well be that, so many more are recognizing it as, a day off with kids. But what we're going to make sure we do is that the kids understand who he was, why he was important, and how his quality work has impacted all mankind.
Right, right. Okay, great. Well, we can't ask for much more than that, so let's hope that
happens. Thank you, Robin. Right. I appreciate you asking.
All right.
I do. And anytime, feel free to give me a call whenever.
And that was our conversation in 2020 with Sarah Crony, Superintendent of Schools in Maple. This year, we took up her offer. We again looked at the districts and found that Solon Springs still has not designated a Martin Luther King holiday or an in-service teacher training day as other districts have. I left multiple messages to Superintendent Helquist for comment, but received no call back. Maple now does take the holiday off. When I called Superintendent Crony, she answered immediately.
The admin team was talking about, is this something that we want to do? I can't say that your conversation with me generated that, because that's too long ago to be able to remember.
I'm not going to claim that I have that power.
Yeah, that you are the influencer. Right, right. But no, at that point, when admin team looks at the calendar once a year, the conversation was, well, is this something that we want to do, that we would want to propose? And that particular year, it just fit perfectly. Because when you're looking at a calendar, you look at June, and you don't ever want June to be only one day into a week. You want a minimum of 2 days, because it's hard for families to say, okay, you've got to come back to school for one day that week. And so it's much easier to say, oh, no, you have school Monday and Tuesday, than if you're going to have Martin Luther King. And then it allows us to have a second day into that second week in June. Well, then there you go. So all those things factor in. But just making sure that the day is recognized, everyone was completely fine with that. But I get pressure from all ends. Oh, let's get out as early as that we can So, of course, any day you're adding in that isn't a required add-in is another day that's going to be later into the summer.
I see. On Monday, January 16th, there's girls' basketball, and I'm not suggesting it should be off or anything like that because, of course, there's sports games on, you know, Christmas, New Year's, and everything else. And Thanksgiving is like the biggest
right.
sports day of the year.
Right. And the other component is you'll also notice there's no sports on Wednesdays. It's a very church-oriented community, and school district participating is a partner
wow.
in that so that we're not in conflict. So if you notice, there's zero sports
I
on a Wednesday.
That.
So now you've narrowed it. It's got to be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And I'll be retiring June 30th, and so my successor will learn all the intricacies of it. However, it is rolled forward for 2 years, so he or she will have a couple of years to figure it out before he or she needs to do the orchestration on creation of the next calendar after that.
Another district that isn't taking the day off is Spooner. David Aslin is the superintendent. Has there been a call for it?
There have not been any calls for that holiday at all here, no. And typically those calendars are established about a year in advance. Annually we will go through and review our previous year's calendar before we look to put a draft together and get feedback from our staff on it. So, it'd be about a year out process on it. I think that if we were to receive some calls for it, we certainly would take those into consideration as we develop calendars going forward.
The Hayward district nearby shares roughly the same demographics and likewise is primarily open. The exception are two charter schools included in the district's boundaries and affiliated with the Lakota Ray Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Natasha Lankur is a Superior parent and well-known racial justice activist. She pointed out that even though the holiday celebrates likely the most well-known African American, it's a celebration for all people.
Absolutely. I think a part of racism is, racism is connected to fear, and it's a fear of the unknown, not being able to, build relationships with other people of color. And then also how society plays a role in taking controlling the narrative of the Black experience, the Black person. And so I think it's important for schools like the ones you speak about to dive really deep and to figure out how they could play a role in how they impact, people of color's lives by not acknowledging the day and having conversations around the importance of what Dr. Martin Luther King meant to America, period.
Indeed, Spooner is actually not only not taking it off, but they don't have any programs at all.
Yeah, and I think that they should, Sam, whoever the principals are in the schools need to be intentional about reaching out to communities of color and figuring out how the school can engage in MLK Day on any activities in the community. I think that should be a precedent for principals to do that. And then also just even acknowledging to even have activities in the school that focus on the importance of the date. Preferably, I was thinking about Superior, Wisconsin, and how Superior High School actually last year, I don't even know if this made the news, but there was a lot of students that came together, including my son and me, supporting as a youth advocate in the community, supporting the school and having their first BSU.
Black Student Union.
Yeah, that was something that happened at Superior High School that happened at the end of the year. So not much happened towards the end of the year. I know they were a part of the Juneteenth event, but mm-hmm. I think this year they can kind of jump back in and gain some more momentum on continuing the purpose of the BSU at the Superior High School and hopefully have some collaborations with some of the schools over here as well. But I think they are more than capable of doing something in their school this year for the BSU for MLK Day.
So you're saying there is a possibility for the districts that aren't doing anything to collaborate with the kids in Superior?
Yes, this would be a great opportunity. I know they look forward to actually organizing an event in their school for MLK Day, because we talked about it last year and they were super excited about it, to be able to have Black leadership in the school and to, you know, take back the narrative of what it means to be a, you know, a youth of color and the importance of sharing their culture and being able to do that on Martin Luther King Day.
That was Superior parent and racial justice activist Natasha Lancure. Coming up, a look back at memorable Twin Ports Martin Luther King birthday celebrations. No, it didn't make much sense. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. That's the late Reverend Arthur Foy of St. Mark AME Church in Duluth leading the Negro National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. Reverend Foy tragically passed in a car accident in 2004, and following that, the Twin Ports Martin Luther King celebrations have been in his memory as well. This year, the events will begin at 7 a.m. on Monday with a free community breakfast at the Coppertop Church in Duluth. It's followed at 10 a.m. with a gathering at the Washington Center and a march at 11 to the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center for continued presentations. The major sponsor is the Duluth NAACP, and complete information can be found at their website, duluthnaacp.org/MLK. Once again, DuluthNAACP.org/MLK. Unlike the inconsistent record of school district commemorations, the official joint celebrations for Duluth and Superior have been going strong for decades. Here are a few highlights of those events, beginning in the early 2000s with Reverend Foy and continuing to the present day.
Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty, and a rejoicing record.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Today is a day in which we remember and we seek to understand. At the core of this day, we celebrate Martin Luther King, a great man, a great leader in our nation's history. We remember what he stood for and what he accomplished, and that he was stolen from us, still in his prime, still with so much to give. His principles, his values, his deliberate and thoughtful efforts to create real and lasting change, these are not simply archives in our history as much as they are lessons and advice for addressing the challenges of today. No matter if this is your first King celebration or your 25th, we all have something to learn. We all have something to reflect upon. We honor and renew Dr. King's legacy when we think about the challenges and issues that our nation is facing today, and then we apply Dr. King's values to those challenges. The power and importance of this day is that we draw new meaning, new lessons from his vast legacy. On this day, above all others, we reflect upon his timeless values and we project them upon the joys, sorrows, challenges, and opportunities of the world that we live in today.
His message is how do you make yourself happy? Do something for someone else. Do serve others. And it's the rent we pay to be on this earth is to leave it better than when we got here. And I think kids are trying to do more.
I like Salvation Army. I've been sometimes give people food and like toys for tots.
Well, this weekend we painted my room and I gathered up all the clothes and donated them to Goodwill.
I think one of the most important things that we can do for our kids is to read to them, because that gives them a love of learning.
Okay, here we go. Gather around and listen as I share childhood memories of my brother, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I am his older sister, and I've known him longer than anyone else.
With these bookshelves, this big one right in front is going to stay here at your school, and you're going to be able to come and get books from that bookshelf.
And this is for you, Caitlin, for bringing this all together for the kids.
It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what you look like. Look the person next to you and smile. That can make the biggest difference in someone's day. That's doing service, being accepting of the people around you. It doesn't matter who they are, what they look like. As long as you be someone's friend, that can be one of the biggest services you can do. It doesn't matter what you look like, how old you are.
Unfulfilled dreams. Brown, yellow, black and white, colors mistaken, fighting for civil rights. Hostility, violence, hatred, and harassing, not by a blame sight. Marring your work across the globe has taken international flights. Unfulfilled dreams. I have a dream, your creation, turn hate to love and spreading equalization. Protesting, boycotting, marching, building a congregation. You risked your life for freedom in this nation. It doesn't matter what color our skin is, what we look like, or where we come from. So many of us wishing and dreaming to stop racism, violence, and prejudice. Unfulfilled dreams, changing this world from generation to generation. Today, this world ain't nothing nice. Love is our motivation. Find a word that should just be given to us without a price. That is freedom. Freedom to fight, stand up for what's right, without inequality or inhumanity. Without judging or stereotyping. One man, one voice, letting African Americans vote. All the freedom riders, Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, Martin, Joseph McNeil, and so much more, stood up for what they believed for. Gave us freedom, you restored, something we just can't ignore. The Montgomery and Albany movement, beginning of civil rights, risking lives, families, and hope. Riots to fights, speeches to marches, ending with unfulfilled dreams. Threatened, you put your life on the line to have blacks and whites equal. Got arrested more than 30 times for your people. Followed your heart, never stopped through the pain. While you lifted your hands to pray, for freedom, for your American dream. Martin Luther King Jr., from January 15, 1929 to April 4, 1968, we honor the changes you made. Unfulfilled dreams are now dreams that you filled, dreams that are still to be changed. This one for you, Dr. King. Thank you.
We wrote this in third person because the first was hurting. We wrote this in third person because the first was hurting. His scars so deep they don't affect the surface. He hides his pain in an imaginary figure and it seems to be working. His hope is that it's working because mom is always working. Grandma died before he could walk and Papa left before he could talk. So his life is outlined in chalk. Statistics say he won't be so the hood, the ghetto for him, that's it. He's determined to prove this wrong with 11/10 of his being. But in a world where seeing is believing, he has no faith because everything he's had, he's had to take. And this is forcing him to turn his back on the people in the hood that's always loved him back. Making his only enemy his inner he. And he doesn't know what to do with that. We wrote this in third person because the first was hurting. We wrote this in third person because the first was hurting.
They won't let him be. They won't let him breathe. They won't let him speak. Try to cover his eyes up
blindfold with a mask on.
So what more can he ask for? He got a television to teach
to tell him what's better vision
when he's unable to see. But he wants a little bit of relief. Too much time in a house.
He wants a little bit of the streets.
But in the streets, they reenacting everything that he's seen to
the point where it forces a scheme. Like,
could this really be reality? It's all like a dream. This couldn't really be reality. It's all like the screen.
Yeah.
And someone has plotted the scene and it's done to deceive and it ain't all what it seems. And it's hard to conceive that this is all they believe. They blowing
hot air and the children follow the steam.
Homies die for the pride, just swallow and grieve. Today he conceives,
tomorrow he leaves.
That's another baby born from a mama with no baby daddy.
Grows up
wondering the reason why his mama had him. Roll up robbing any thieves to make his mama happy. Graduated to selling drugs, now he moved through traffic.
Married to the game,
he has become the newest addict.
We wrote this in third person because the first was hurting. We wrote this in third person because the first was hurting. So we wrote this for you.
So, how are you today? No, you can do better than that. How are you today? Very good, very good. My name is Chang'a, and I am from Kenya. And by the way, Kenya is in Africa. And the reason I'm saying this is because when I came to this country, I remember I went to school in Wisconsin. And I remember saying to a student there, "Do you know Kenya?" The guy looks at me and says, "Is that a new kind of soap?" I could not understand why someone at college level would think of Kenya as a kind of soap. Stories break abstract concepts into concrete. When anything is told in a story form, it's easier to conceptualize. So the story I want to tell you now, because we are talking about peace, Martin Luther King was talking about unity, about love, about reconciliation, about forgiveness. And the story I'm going to share with you very quickly now is going to demonstrate that. So, in Africa, when we tell stories, we say to the audience, "Story, story." And they all say to us, "Story." That way, we know they are listening. So when I say to you, "Story, story," say to me, "Story." Okay, let's try it now. "Story, story."
"Story."
Very good. Once upon a time, the mouse, the rooster, the he-goat, and the bull all lived in one homestead. And then one day, the mouse was walking, and the mouse saw a mouse trap. And then the mouse said, "Since we are all here as friends," we are now assuming they were all friends. So the mouse runs and says to the rooster, "Hey, my friend, there's a mouse trap under the bed there. Please undo it." The rooster said, "Who? Me? Roosters don't go under the bed. It's for you, mice. You undo it." The mouse went to his other friend, the he-goat, and said, "My friend, we share this homestead. We live here together. There's a mouse trap underneath the bed. Please undo it." The he-goat said, "Who? Me? When did you ever see a goat under the bed? It's your problem. Undo it." So now the mouse goes to the bull and says, "Mr. Bull, you are my friend. I have seen something dangerous here. Please, there is a mouse trap there. Help me and do it." And you know what the bull said? "Who? Me? No way. We are not even allowed in the compound, let alone under the bed." So the mouse goes, and then at night, the owner of the house hears something rattling under the bed. Brrr. And then he wonders, what is that? So he tries to bring his hand down there, and then bang, he's stung by a snake, big snake. So the man cries, and in no time, the man dies. It's now morning time. People are shocked. They say, "Wow, the head of the family is dead. So what are we going to do? Okay, let's plan the funeral." Then the people start coming. By noontime, only a few people are there. You know the planning committee of the funeral, what they say? These people are so few, but I guess they can just have a rooster for lunch. The rooster is taken, wham! They eat it for lunch. That evening, more people are there. They say, "Wow, these people are many. Why don't you get the he-goat? And then they can have supper." The he-goat killed. Next day, everybody's there from the village. All the people. "Wow, these are many people. Only the bull would satisfy them." The bull is finally slaughtered. My dear friends, we are all in this together. When you see the mouse trap, undo it. Your problem is my problem. That is what Martin Luther King would have said. Thank you.
The dream Dr. King described on August 28, 1963, remained a dream on August 29, 1963. And a promissory note that he and 250,000 others came to redeem that day remained uncashed. President Kennedy didn't come out to shake his hand at the podium. Congress did not draft and pass a civil rights bill that day or anytime soon. In fact, what did happen 2 weeks later was something that turned the dream into a nightmare. In Birmingham, Alabama, it was a scene that we can all imagine today. On September 15th, somebody crazy with hate, if you want to qualify it, interrupted a peaceful Sunday morning church service with a bomb. It took the lives of four African-American girls. Three of them were 14. One was 11. And in the aftermath, like today, people called for justice, some reminding the world that only a week before, Governor George Wallace said that all that was needed to stop integration in Alabama was a few first-class funerals. I want to make an aside to say that people love to put words into Dr. King's mouth. You've all heard it. They love to say that if Dr. King were alive today, he'd be for so-and-so, and he'd be against such-and-such, right? You've heard it. How about this one? If Dr. King were alive today, he'd be against affirmative action, right? You've heard that. And I know you heard this one, and this might divide people, but if Dr. King were alive today, he'd definitely be against gay marriage. Well, how does anybody know that? What I do know is what Martin Luther King would say to the tragedy of Tucson last week, because he said it in his eulogy for the four little girls in Birmingham. "These children, unoffending, innocent, and beautiful, were the victims of one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. Yet they died nobly. They are the martyred heroines of a holy crusade for freedom and human dignity."
Happy MLK need to move. This time of year, when we celebrate Dr. King's holiday, we talk a lot about him having a dream, but talk very little about him having a full dream of inclusion for the United States of America. When Dr. King was marching in the streets, as our young people are marching for Black Lives Matter today, there were many who disagreed with his tactics. Clergy who sent him letters suggesting that he should wind down, that he should wait. And Dr. King wrote them a letter titled The Letter from the Birmingham Jail, when he reminded us that the word wait to the American Negro has almost always meant never. We need to get very clear in the United States that the problem we've had since 1617, the kidnap of Africans for the purpose of building wealth across Western Europe and the United States, is the contradiction we live in a time when Thomas Jefferson was writing down these wonderful ideals. He was also writing notes from the state of Virginia, suggesting that African Americans are inherently inferior because we are born black, and for no other reason. We talk about Dr. King's dream in a way that is wonderful and lovely, but we don't talk about Dr. King's militancy. His work against poverty is ultimately what got him killed. When we think about the ideas that Dr. King espoused for inclusion and diversity, we must admit that we are struggling, even today, with the very realities that were set up so long ago when we couldn't have a conversation about whether or not Africans chose to come to the shores of the United States. Instead, we talk about things in veiled ways. We've used new language that's really old language, like urban and rural, to mean white and black. In the state of Minnesota, we struggled, as many other states did, with drug epidemics that were largely perceived to be black drugs, like crack cocaine. And Minnesota's response was lock them up. Bill Clinton's three strikes and you're out. And today, when heroin is largely considered to be a white kid's problem, they want all of us to carry pens to save kids from overdosing. Of course, I would never disagree as a grandmother and mother with carrying such a pen to save lives. What I disagree with is that we value one life more than the other, the same way that we suggest the southern states do. In the north, we have it just as bad. We call it Minnesota nice.
Whereas the cities of Duluth and Superior recognize that Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. lost his life challenging the United States of America to live up to its creed of equality and justice. And
whereas Dr. King's dream of equality and justice is yet to be realized because of the staying power of systemic racism and white supremacy.
Whereas each year we gather here to publicly state our commitment to realizing equity as a foundation for the beloved community in all our actions and efforts.
Whereas we take to heart the meaning of Dr. King's work and unwavering conviction to end racism, militarization, and poverty, and
this year's theme, Give Us the Ballot, is devoted to people protecting the political power of all people, especially black, indigenous, and people of color, to meaningfully participate in the democratic process.
Whereas we devote this day to the mission of equity for all people and the destruction of white supremacy and systemic racism. Now, therefore, we,
Jim Payne,
Janet Kennedy,
and Emily Larson, mayors and councilors of cities of Superior and the city of Duluth, do officially proclaim January 20th, 2020, as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day in Superior and Duluth.
Those were excerpts from the Twin Ports official Martin Luther King Day observances going back, roughly in chronological order, to the early 2000s. Featured were the Reverend Arthur Foy, the Little Horse Drum Group, former Duluth Mayor Don Ness, the UW Superior Center for Academic Service Learning, poems by Marilyn and the group Suicide Minds, Professor Changa Mueti, Robin Washington, Lissa Jones Lofgren, and Superior Mayor Jim Payne, Duluth Mayor Emily Larson, and Duluth City Councilor Janet Kennedy, reading a joint proclamation for both cities. They were recorded and archived by Doug Bowen Bailey. This year's King Day events will begin at 7 a.m. on Monday with a free community breakfast at the Coppertop Church in Duluth. Information on all this year's activities can be found at duluthnaacp.org/MLK. Coming up, the regional news and review. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and we're joined by Rick Lubbers of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
And a new news roundupper, if that's a word, joining us this week, Shalon Monroe, multimedia journalist for WDIO-TV. Hello, Shalon.
Hi, Robin.
So, Rick, the final chapter was written this week to one of Minnesota's most notorious and heart-wrenching crimes.
Yes, Donald Blum, the man convicted of the 1999 kidnapping and murder of 19-year-old Katie Poyer of Barnum, has died while serving life in prison, according to the Minnesota Department of Correction. Blum, 73, died Tuesday at the Minnesota Correctional Facility, Oak Park Heights, near Stillwater, Minnesota. He served 23 years of a life sentence for the first-degree murder and kidnapping of Poyer. Blum was ill at the time, according to the DOC, and his death of natural causes was expected. Katie Poyer was working an overnight shift at the Moose Lake DJ's Expressway on May 26, 1999. Footage from a surveillance camera captured a man forcing her out of the gas station. Her body was never discovered, but some of her remains, including a recently filled tooth, were found on Blom's property nearly a month later. He initially confessed to the murder, then later recanted the confession, claiming that solitary confinement and medications caused him to confess. Blum was a registered sex offender involved in 5 known cases of kidnapping or sexual assault prior to Katie Poyer's murder. Blum's trial took 5 weeks and included testimony from over 50 witnesses, including 2 women that Blum had kidnapped in 1983. The jury took 10 hours to convict him. Blum was convicted under the Paul Antonich Law, named for the 2 Harbor's teenager kidnapped and murdered in 1996. That law made a mandatory life sentence for murder in the process of a kidnapping. Poyer's murder led to the passage of Katie's Law, which included development of a statewide crime computer network, tightening tracking requirements for predatory sex offenders. The law made it more difficult for felons to change their names, which Blum did, and it lengthened prison sentences for first-degree criminal sexual conduct. It also provided money for probation officers and technology and staffing at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension.
All right. Well, we've been hearing no end of air travel woes recently, including this week with the FAA's system failure that grounded all U.S. flights Wednesday morning. Now there's an issue affecting some Duluth air travelers.
Yes, there is. The ongoing nationwide pilot shortage is continuing to delay the potential flight between Duluth and Denver. The long-awaited daily flight to Denver International Airport would give passengers from Duluth access to a major hub to the west. But there just aren't enough pilots to support new routes, with regional airlines struggling to staff existing service, according to Tom Werner, the executive director of the Duluth Airport Authority. Still, Werner is hopeful that the $750,000 grant awarded by the U.S. Department of Transportation in 2021 will attract an airline to establish the route. The airport has an 8-year window to use that grant. The federal grant, coupled with additional funds from area businesses, the City of Duluth and St. Louis County, is meant to mitigate startup risk for the airline and do some initial marketing. But for an airline to move in, the route needs to be profitable, and Werner believes it would be. Denver is already a top 5 origin destination based on daily passengers flying between Duluth and Denver. There already was a pilot shortage prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. At the time, the airline industry forecast it would worsen with a wave of pilots approaching the mandatory retirement age of 65. But when the COVID-19 hit and people stopped flying, it accelerated those retirements and interrupted the training of would-be pilots. Duluth received service from United Airlines with 3 daily nonstop flights to Chicago, and from Delta with 3 daily nonstop flights to Minneapolis. Sun Country also provides twice weekly nonstop flights to Phoenix, Arizona and Fort Myers, Florida. The Fort Myers flight, however, is on hiatus through the end of the month due to soft bookings in the wake of Hurricane Ian.
All right. Well, if you're a Duluth City Council member and you're in Denver or anywhere out of town and you can't get back to town, you can still catch up with your council meetings, or can you?
Well, local officials are advocating for a change in state law that would make it easier for them to do so. On Monday night, the Duluth City Council voted in support of a request to change Minnesota's open meetings law. During the early stages of the COVID-19 crisis, the City Council and other government boards and commissions were able to meet remotely due to a statewide emergency declaration. But now that the emergency declaration has expired, City Attorney Rebecca St. George said public bodies no longer have the ability to do so. At-large Councilor Therese Tominick said there are four reasons she supports the change. One, the occasional difficulty of attaining a quorum of board or committee members required to conduct official business. Also, the challenges some people with disabilities encounter when trying to access City Hall. Equity issues of people needing to sacrifice not only meeting time, but commuting time. And sustainability, as driving to a meeting physically results in additional carbon emissions. St. George said the proposed change, if approved by the legislature, would provide more flexibility to work around challenges such as snowstorms or the water leak that forced the temporary closure of City Hall recently.
Well, on the Wisconsin side, the Superior City Council is considering a proposal that some homeowners might want to hear. Shalon?
Yes, Robin, that is correct. Well, some of these homeowners will be excited to know that potentially they will not have to pay increased property tax when it comes to the 2023 budget. That's something that Superior Mayor Jim Payne says that he is looking to challenge going into this new year.
And we assume he has to get council buy-in on that for that to come to fruition. While they're looking at stabilizing housing expenses, another group is considering food security in the area.
Yes, the Superior Douglas County YMCA is hosting their free drive-through food distribution event this weekend, Saturday, January the 14th, from 10 a.m. to noon. The YMCA partners with Every Meal to provide 4 to 5 pounds of food bags to anyone that comes through the line. And we all know, with inflation still going into 2023 and food costs rising, if not daily, being able to find programs like what the YMCA is doing to help out families is definitely helpful.
Exactly. And lastly, the winter racing season is coming up for the dogs. There's the Bear Grease, of course, and skiers have the Birkebeiner just a few weeks away, but there's already a series for young runners going on.
Yes, and that series is the Youth Athletes Foundation Saturday morning at the races event for children 14 and under. It is a grandma's marathon program. The races are split into 6 groups with distances running from 1/8 to half of a mile. Now, the next race will be Saturday, January the 22nd at the University of Minnesota Duluth in the Ward Wells Fieldhouse. The last one will be on Saturday, February the 4th, at the University of Wisconsin-Superior Markovich Center.
And for more information, where can we go?
GrandmasMarathon.com, and you will see a link on their page. The Youth Athletes Foundation, no charge to families, and they can sign their kids up either online or the day of the event by completing a short form.
Actually, I'm calling it up right now, grandmasmarathon.com, and right at the top, a tab that says Youth Athletes Foundation. We've been joined by Shalon Monroe, multimedia journalist for WDIO-TV. Thank you, Shalon.
Thank you.
And Rick Lubbers, executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org, DuluthNewsTribune.com, and WDIO.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with a reprise from an early 2000s commemoration to Dr. King, led by the late Reverend Arthur Foy. Stay safe, everyone.